Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning. I thought today, when I left here yesterday, we'd be talking about the Yankees and the Mets and their issues again after lots of Knicks during this week. I figured we'd all digested the NBA draft lottery and we'd be moving back into all the baseball talk. And then right around, 11:30 or so, all of that changed as these rumors that both Mike Maccagnan right here on this radio station had fought off, that Adam Gase himself just a couple of days ago tried to fight off. Well, all of them were true. As Mike Maccagnan was fired as general manager of the New York Jets yesterday in a surprising move. After the draft, after free agency, after Christopher Johnson said that Mike does a wonderful job at his job, and all these platitudes that he threw at Mike Maccagnan, and he kept him. Bowl's gone, Maccagnan here. You're going to do the job. Here's a boatload of money to spend in free agency, Mike. Go get it. It's a big offseason for you. You got a draft here. You got the number three overall pick. Go get him, Mike. Go get him. And then, bang, May 15th, out of here. Really, really strange. Christopher Johnson did have a conference call and said, no, listen, this is my decision. No strife between Gase and Maccagnan. But it seems like, from where I'm sitting, it seems like Adam Gase went in there and said, this is not the way it's going to run. It's going to run through me, and this guy's got to go, and Christopher Johnson's in love with Adam Gase, and he made that move. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. A little tired. Got in at 12:30 last night. I was down with Joe Gibbs.
Oh, were you?
For his Youth for Tomorrow Foundation benefit dinner down there in Washington, D.C., right? Well, Fairfax, Virginia, but... all this stuff is breaking, and I'm down there with all these Redskins, and they're hell to the Redskins and everything else.
Did you see Dwayne Haskins?
I did not see Dwayne.
It's too bad.
Most of the rookie class of the Redskins were there, except for Dwayne Haskins and Montez Sweat. They were actually in L.A. with the NFL doing something.
Okay.
So saw Adrian Peterson last night, made him go out for a pass in a suit and everything else. Okay. He dropped the first pass I threw to him. I said, come on, AP, what's up, man? And then made him go do it again, and then he caught it. And then he came to me and goes, man, that was game-ready stuff, man. I didn't realize you were going to do game-ready stuff. I said, I know I'm 58, but I could still throw, man, because I was born to throw. But anyway, yeah, I got in late last night, and of course, you know, it's been a whirlwind. It's just been crazed. We go from the Knicks to the Jets, and, you know, of course, we got the Bethpage Black and the PGA Championship starting today. I was getting so jacked up getting ready for that, and now all of a sudden this monkey wrench gets thrown our way. I mean, it's about as shocking, a situation that we've seen around here in a long time, especially the timing of it and how it's gone down. And I think the shocking nature of it is that, you know, Mike Maccagnan 2 weeks ago and Adam Gase 2 weeks ago both basically came out and said, we have some differences. You know, everybody's going to have differences when you're the GM and the coach and all this other stuff. And we all thought that the initial smoke that was sent out about 2.5-3 weeks ago kind of dissipated.
Yeah.
That somehow Christopher Johnson was going to allow this relationship to continue at least through the year to see where they got through, because it seemed like everything had finally stabilized for the Jets, especially in light of some of the giant maneuvering that had been going on.
Yeah, that's a shame in this with the Jet fan and the organization, is they were riding high. I mean, you could have made a case that they were the most positive, the most positivity around any franchise here other than the Yankees. And the Yankees, all their injuries, it was with the Jets finally. And all of a sudden, you get another story like this.
Well, you know, so here's the deal. I kind of feel like I know a little bit about what's going on, and I may not have all the facts and figures right, but I do know the personalities involved, and I do know exactly what the owner was looking for when he ultimately finally decided on hiring Adam Gase as his head coach. The thing I think that Christopher Johnson felt towards the end of last year, that there was a general malaise around the organization, and that it was almost like it was leaderless. Like there was no alpha male personality. And you would think, wow, I mean, Todd Bowles, he's a head football coach. He's a former player. He's a great defensive coordinator, won a lot of games. And Mike Maccagnan, who had been a scout for many years in the NFL, should know everybody else in the NFL. But these two guys were kind of like flatlining personalities. And remember, Christopher Johnson didn't hire them. His brother Woody did. So he inherited those guys when Woody was named the ambassador to Great Britain. So Christopher basically becomes a neophyte owner. He's a rookie owner in the middle of a franchise that is trying to turn the corner with two new men leading it. And as things got worse, you know, obviously last year, and you could hear the voice of the fans, you could read the papers, you can, you know, the inner circle around Christopher Johnson, you know, the people within the building over there. There was no real excitement other than that of Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold had lit up that building because they all fell in love with Sam. They think Sam's a high character guy. They think he's going to be a terrific player. So they got that part of it right. But Christopher still was not happy with the way that the franchise was being run. This is what I'm taking from all of the things that I've heard and seen over the last 6 months. He wanted an A-type personality. I'll never forget, you and I were advocating for, you know, Mike McCarthy when he became available.
Experience.
We didn't
big
want,
resume.
Right. We didn't want the Jets to hire yet another first-time head coach. That they needed to get somebody in here that had some sort of resume, that had some sort of background, that had some sort of success. And at that time, when we were advocating Mike McCarthy, I remember, you know, Adam Gase was still the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And then lo and behold, Stephen Ross and Adam Gase have a falling out. He gets fired. And the next thing you know, there's a meeting with Woody Johnson and Adam Gase and Mike Maccagnan. And Christopher Johnson. And Christopher Johnson, I'm telling you, was blown away by the initial interview, the passion, the youthful nature of Adam Gase, the way that he sees football.
I fell in love.
Yes.
I mean, Christopher Johnson was a driving force behind hiring Adam Gase. I mean, we knew at the time. We talked about it then. I don't know if Mike Maccagnan, if the decision was left up to him, would have hired Adam Gase. This was Christopher Johnson's decision.
The reason that Mike Maccagnan wouldn't have hired Adam Gase is because of what happened yesterday.
Exactly, yep.
So, you know, Mike Maccagnan also, you know, has a... You know, he's kind of a flatliner personality. He's a good guy. You know, when he came on with us, you know, he bought into the fun. You know, we would make fun of him and everything. You know, he'd laugh on the other end. Well, yeah, he's kind of like an introvert. And, you know, it's the process and it's this and it's that. And you don't really ever get anything out of him. Yeah. But we could make him laugh at least.
I got to ask you this, though.
So, but here's the deal. Let me just finish this little take here. So I think if you ask Christopher Johnson, should you have fired Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles at the same time together? I think he would probably tell you, yes, I probably should have done it then. But as a rookie owner, as a neophyte owner, I think he felt he didn't want to be totally exposed without having at least part of an organization together. And that was the general manager part, that he would rely on Mike, the contacts, the agent contacts, all this other stuff, to get the coaches in here to talk to them and meet them and try to find out who they wanted to hire. But then as the relationship started to, you know, either come together or fall apart, it was easy for Christopher Johnson, who has now immersed himself into the organization fully. I mean, before, you know, he was the owner of the Jets, you know, he'd be skiing in Stade or he'd be surfing in Hawaii.
Right.
You know, this guy, you know, basically had a really good life and he enjoyed life. I would be doing the same thing. But now when Woody becomes the ambassador to Great Britain, he gets thrust into a situation that he's never had to be a part of before.
Right. He had to go through this for the first time at the highest level with all eyes on him. It's a tough spot.
And he made a mistake. His mistake was that he really liked Todd Bowles as a person, really likes Mike Maccagnan as a person, and he became friendly with those guys.
Yeah.
As opposed to the boss – employee working relationship, he became friends. And it's hard to fire friends, especially when you've never done it before and you've never done it at a high profile level like this before. So he was learning on the job. I hate, you know, and Jet fans probably hate hearing this, but it's not an excuse. It's the reality. It's the fact that I know. And so the last 6 months, he makes a decision. He gets smitten with Adam Gase. He's got the guy. He's got the alpha personality, the guy that's going to ignite the building over there, that's going to come out of his office, that's going to ingratiate himself with the entire employee base, from the ticket sellers to the guys that clean the building to these office assistants and secretaries to the front office people to the administration. He is going to have his fingers in everything, and he's going to be a personality in that building that's going to light it up. And that's exactly what has happened. And then as Christopher Johnson has watched over the last 3 months, these two guys working together, I think that he senses, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but this is what I believe. I believe that he sensed, you know, a growing rift and frustration. He's got this A-type, let's go get it right now personality in Adam Gase. And he's got the introvert. And he's got the quiet guy, the methodical guy that's always in his office, that's never really ingratiating himself. So here's the deal.
He knew this, though. This is the problem that I have. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Listen, I believe he was hoping that Mike Maccagnan would change the way he had done things for 4 years and become more of an extrovert, become more of a part of the leadership group. And at the end of the day, you know, Adam Gase has been around. He watched his friend John Fox get fired twice, and he knows exactly what the NFL is all about. It's all about roster control. He wanted to trade Darren Lee, probably wanted it done like a month ago.
Yeah, it's probably one of the
It done a month ago. That's why he did it last night. Look, we're making decisions and we're moving on. I can't be sitting around here waiting for, you know, you to make a decision when you have control of the roster. So he and Jaime over there, who is their general counsel, I believe, are working together as the interim basis GMs. I'm sure they have their candidates ready to line up to interview.
Well, this guy from the Eagles, right?
Well, yeah, Joe Douglas. He's a very highly thought of football guy in NFL. In the NFL landscape. Now, whether or not they can get him from the Eagles, I don't know. They still have to go through the Rooney rule and all this other stuff. So you may have guys that you're identifying, but you're going to have to interview a lot of different things, and that process is going to start. So I don't know if you want to call it a calculated brilliance. I don't know if you want to call it ineptitude.
Brilliant.
I'll tell you why. Or you want to call it unintended brilliance. And the reason I say that is because the Jets right now, out of 32 teams in the league, are the only team without a GM. Meaning that they are not going to be out there vying for somebody at a very high level, whether it be Joe Douglas or anybody else, against four or five other teams and four or five other opportunities. Like they are the only opportunity in the game right now for this particular position. So they should have their pick of the litter if they want it, depending on who they go out and get.
Now, sure, that makes sense, yes.
And the one thing we do know is that there's no way they are bringing somebody in here that isn't going to match the philosophical and temperament of Adam Gase.
Well, that I think fans might have a little bit of a problem with. It's like Adam Gase now is the be-all, end-all. So the next general manager, and Christopher Johnson said as much on the conference call, that he'll be involved in the hiring of the next general manager.
He's involved.
So you're telling me that this is Adam Gase's team.
Right now it is, yeah.
But it's still going to be, because whoever this general manager is, if Adam Gase is involved in hiring him, then it's got his fingerprints all over that, too.
You know how we were
talking? Are we trusting the wrong guy if you're the Jets?
Well, that's the question. I don't know that until we see what it looks like on the field.
Yeah.
And I told you that when they hired Adam Gase and they hired Greg Williams, that they were going to get two of the most explosive personalities and A-type personality coaches in the entire NFL. I told you that. I told you this is going to be like energy personified. This is going to be competition on the field. This is going to be like, you know, dog eat dog, man. This is going to be everything I think that if you are a Jet fan, you're going to want. You're going to want your guys to come out with an edge. You're going to want to have your guys having a chip on their shoulder. Now, so the other thing I do believe that happened here is that you have the contracts that were given to Le'Veon Bell and CJ Mosley. Now, I think C.J. Mosley is a great addition to the New York Jets because he's a real, honest-to-God, tough-nails football player, kind of like Bart Scott was for Rex Ryan. When Rex Ryan came here, he brought three former Baltimore Raven defenders. That there was Maurice Douglas, Jim Leonard, and Bart Scott. Bart Scott was the key to that because he had to become Ray Lewis for the Jets when he got here. Personality, playing, in your face, talking to the teammates, high IQ on the football field, and all that other stuff. And I think, you know, that's what C.J. Mosley is going to be for Greg Williams. But I think that they felt like they overpaid for C.J. Mosley, so he was in the right place at the right time. But I believe they overpaid for C.J. Mosley because of what happened with Anthony Barr. Anthony Barr was ready to accept the deal with the Jets. and then he used the Jets and went back to the Vikings and left the
but
Jets.
But hadn't they already signed Mosley before that decision?
No, I think they were. I believe that they were afraid that they were going to lose Mosley to the same situation as Anthony Barr, that they were going to end up using the Jets as leverage to try to get more money than go back to Baltimore. So maybe there
was a disagreement there between Maccagnan and Gase.
I just think it's the money. I don't think it's the player. I think it's the money.
Well, when you're the player and now you're reading reports about the coach not liking the contract that the team gave you and the general manager is gone and the coach is now the general manager, that is a relationship that Adam Gase needs to go and make sure remains in a good place or repairs if it's not in a good place.
By all accounts, everything that's been told to me, C.J. Mosley is the perfect guy. They wanted him. They're glad they have him. And he is going to be a leader of this defense. And he is going to be the perfect conduit between Greg Williams and the rest of the players. He, Jamal Adams, these guys are all cut from the same cloth. You heard Jamal Adams, I need some dogs. I don't think he was... I think I know what he meant by that. He means that he wants some tough son of a bitches on the field with him that are going to go all in, all out, all the time. And that's exactly what C.J. Mosley is. That's exactly when Bart Scott got here, that's who he was. So that there is a problem there with maybe the money, but at the end of the day, they are very happy with the player. Now, as far as Le'Veon Bell is concerned, and I know that everybody's running to Le'Veon on social media, telling him what's going on here and all this other stuff. Well, you know, if Le'Veon were here and participating, then I would say, you know, maybe some of this is not true about, you know, the disconnect between Maccagnan and Le'Veon Bell, and maybe Maccagnan and Heimendinger did this because of the pressure that they felt like they had to go out and get a superstar player to pacify the fans, which is always a part of the equation. How much of the equation, you know, nobody knows. Only the people that are making the decisions know. And I think you and I advocated for Le'Veon Bell because I think he will help a young quarterback, assuming that he is motivated.
I was not really advocating for Le'Veon Bell. I think this guy's a bum.
I know you don't.
He might end up being a great player, but I hate his personality. Right. I don't think he likes football, and I think he's full of crap most of the time.
Okay, so if Adam Gase feels the same way that you do and tells Mike Maccagnan that, now I'm not sure if he does or he doesn't. I think he too likes the player, but I don't think he likes the number that they had to pay because it cost them opportunities to go get some other guys that I'm sure that the new head coach wanted. But if Adam Gase felt that way, and he's being handed what you just said, he's being handed, wouldn't you have a problem?
Sure, I would. But also, apparently, according to stuff that was out there yesterday, Adam Gase is telling everybody in the NFL how he feels about it. Well, if I'm Le'Veon Bell, I'm like, wait a second. All right, I'm on your team. You're my head coach. Yeah, I've got a resume that says I'm a pretty damn good player. You're telling everybody in the NFL you didn't want me?
You know who's the perfect guy for Adam Gase? I'm trying to think of the running back they had down in Miami. Frank Gore.
Yeah,
Frank Gore is a perfect guy. Why? Because you didn't have to pay him a lot of money, and you got a lot out of him.
Rap concerts every other
right.
day.
And they traded Jay Ajayi. You remember they traded him right in the middle of the season?
Yep.
And they said, get out of here, go. You know, because Adam is a guy that understands that, you know, you got to make people uncomfortable. You have to make people uncomfortable. That I believe that one of the reasons why Christopher Johnson went down this road was because I think that Christopher saw a general malaise in that building, a morale problem. I think that it got a little bit cushy and a little bit soft over there. And now he's went out and he's hired two razor-thin coaches that got an edge and a chip on their shoulder in Adam Gase and Greg Williams. Now, there's a potential for an enormous blow-up here.
Oh, of course.
Which is awesome for our jobs and to watch it. But there's also the potential to have a top-flight defense and to have a young quarterback being tutored by an offensive head coach who does have experience in the NFC East against the New England Patriots and against the Bills. And, of course, you know, he's very knowledgeable about the teams that he's going to see. So I don't know. I know it's wild. I know it sounds crazy. But I don't know. I just felt like it was coming, and I just feel like it was hard for Christopher Johnson to do it, but he did it. He pulled the trigger. And you know what? The Jets are moving forward. They're not looking back. They're not. And this is kind of a ruthless move. And I'm always talking about being ruthless.
You can say ruthless. I could also say, I mean, to me, when Christopher Johnson stands there and says all the stuff that he says about Mike Maccagnan and how he's doing a great job and how he's going to go forward with Mike and his plan and he convinced him to stay.
Yes.
And you're telling me that, you know, 5 months or whatever it was, all what happened in that 5 months? Was it that bad that they had to make a change?
Yeah, I'll tell
Seriously.
You.
Seriously. That bad?
There's something you just brought up there and you said that I had totally forgotten about. Now it reminds me and it makes even more sense to me. So You remember when at the end of the year, Mike Maccagnan had the big meeting with Christopher Johnson?
Yeah.
And he laid out the plan.
Yep.
He said, here's the plan.
Sure.
So that plan, that Mike Maccagnan is somebody that Christopher Johnson said, you know what? All right. I'm a neophyte at this. I'm not good at this. I'm going to need a plan. I'm going to need somebody that's going to try to enact this plan. I would give the Jets a B-plus in the offseason if you combine free agency and you combine what they did in the draft. I would say a B-plus. I think it was good. I think they've definitely gotten better on the field of play with players, and I do think that they are better with their coaching staff. So I would say a B-plus at this point. So the plan is put out there. Christopher buys into the plan and feels like he's got a general manager who's got things somewhat organized to move forward with the next coaching staff. So that actually alleviates some of the pressure on Christopher to allow him now to be a part of the coaching search. And then when Adam Gase fell into his lap, I almost felt like, you know, this is the perfect personality for what Christopher's looking for. He is with the new uniforms are a part of it. A new quarterback's a part of it. A new defensive coordinator with a personality is a part of it. And certainly a head coach that's got attitude, that's in your face, and that's making decisions. It's not afraid to make a decision. It may not all work out. It may not work out. But at the end of the day, he's a guy that's going to be there every single day, 24-7, 365, eat, sleep, drinking football all the time, and is basically going to be pushing everybody.
I just don't understand why you don't see how these moves work out this offseason when all we heard was this was Mike Maccagnan's biggest offseason with all the money he can spend, third overall pick, this draft class. Why not see how it works out before you fire the guy?
He watched it.
You didn't see anything on the field. Team goes to the playoffs and it's Mike Maccagnan's team that he put together, then how foolish are they going to look?
Right, but he's watching it unfold in front of his eyes. And like I said, whether it's unintended or calculated, okay? Listen to me. Whether it's unintended or calculated, I think it's probably unintended because I don't think that Christopher wanted to fire Mike. But if it's unintended... they are the only team without a GM right now as we speak. And if there is a time in the NFL to be without a GM...
Yeah, but Boomer, they're going to get the guy that's Case's friend. You're acting like this is going to be some sort of search, some worldwide search for a general manager. They're going to find the guy that Gase wants. Whether there's a million openings or not, they're finding Gase's buddy and bringing him in. That matter?
Well, how about if Gase's buddy had a chance to go somewhere else and you have to fight for him or you have to try to convince him? But
this guy was available this offseason and didn't get a GM job, did he? When all those other ones were open?
I remember his name being bandied around that if...
He didn't get a job. Who cares if he gets bandied around?
You know why he didn't get a job? Because the Jets didn't fire Mike Maccagnan. That's why.
But, I mean, the idea that now they have all this pool of candidates, they're focusing in on one guy.
And good for them if they get the guy. If that is the guy.
Sure.
So, immediately I make some phone calls that to some people who have had run-ins or have worked with Joe Douglas. I don't think I've ever met him. I might have met him at a Monday night game or two down in Philadelphia, but everybody, the three people that I talk to that I trust the most in the NFL, all say that Joe Douglas is a tremendous football guy. He's a tremendous football guy. He's all about football. They call it ball now. I call it football. Back when I played, we call it football. They call it ball now. He's all ball. He's all about it. Mm-hmm. He knows how to work the system. He knows what he's looking for. Look what they've done down there in Philadelphia since he left Chicago and came to Philadelphia with Howie Roseman and everything that's gone on down there, the success that they've had, the players that they've found, the drafts that they've had. You know, that's Adam Gase's buddy from his days in Chicago.
Yeah.
And if that's his buddy and they're in sync, then why wouldn't you hire him? Here's the thing.
You're trusting Adam Gase in a big way.
I tell you about the Kansas City model. We were talking about that with the Giants.
Heard that plenty, yes.
Right, and then we were talking about the Green Bay model with the Giants and the quarterback. The model that I think that is happening here and that is unfolding here
is the Adam Gase model.
Well, it's the Adam Gase model, but there's already a model that's out there that hasn't been that successful due in large part to injuries. But I will tell you that they are a rising team. They have been a rising team. And I think this year they may be a team that's in the thick of the playoff hunt that haven't been in the thick of the playoff hunt the last couple of years. Do you know what team I'm talking about?
I do not.
It's the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
Because you have... Kyle Shanahan gets the job. Who does he bring with him? He brings
John Lynch.
John Lynch with him as his GM, and they both come there. They're both in lockstep. They both see ball the same way because they like to say
ball.
They all see ball the same way, and that's what Adam Gase wants. He wants a guy that sees it the way that he sees it, and I can totally understand that from his situation. You don't want to be jammed down your throat the players that you may not want or you may not want to pay for and may cost you a couple, two or three other players that you want. And, you know, he ran that roster down there in Miami, so he's familiar with doing that. And I wasn't overly shocked. What I was really shocked with was, like, the reaction. Like, yeah, they fired a general manager. So what?
Oh, come on. It's the timing of it. We got to take a break. We'll talk more about that coming up.
He doesn't call one play.
It's crazy.
He doesn't.
I mean, come on. This because this never happens. And you had the guy say right on this show, after all these rumors are out there, I said the first question to him, what was it like to almost get fired? And then Adam Gase 2 days ago, 3 days ago, it pisses me off that there's a rift between the two of us. And then he gets fired. And it happened in May. I mean, of course there's going to be reaction to it.
And that's why Christopher Johnson, I think, you know, tried to own this yesterday. Try saying this was
At least he had the conference call. That was a good thing. He didn't go and hide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.